One thing on Monica, and then I want to talk a little about the woes in the gospel. But, you know, one of the things we did in my former parish is we prayed an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be at the end of intercessions. And we just tried to do that because they said, we're going to try to make a prayer for our own children, no longer go to Mass. So at least make a commitment to pray. That they would come back to the church, come back to the sacraments, especially raise their children in the sacraments, your grandchildren. Well, we did that for the first weekend, and the overwhelming kind of response, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that when we were praying the prayer, that some mothers and fathers were actually had teared up and cried because the first time they felt like, we're going to pray for my children here at Mass, rather than just either throwing an intercession or telling you pray for them, that we actually did pray for them. And when I first started, we were doing it at the end of the communion. We'd kneel down and we'd pray for our children and for those who have left the church. And so I was really surprised because we moved it to the intercession, trying to work out what works best for them. But then after a while, we're like, okay, we'll do that for a couple of months and then we'll stop it. But I couldn't stop it because the people cried out, we need to keep praying for our children. And it became very, very important. And of course, that would make a lot of sense because they were so dear to them and it's important to them at least to have their grandchildren, watch their grandchildren not even be baptized, is a reality that I don't think we really sort of address publicly and begin the kind of process, because that's ultimately, I think, where people are today, and that especially your generation that are continuing to go to church and watching that your own grandchildren don't know anything about the faith. They don't even go to church. Sometimes you might take them to church or grandparents take them to church and they're like a sponge eating it all up. What's this? What's that? And wondering, why aren't my own children kind of sharing faith with my grandchildren? So hopefully over the next year or so, we'll start seeing something like that because it was hugely successful. So we might as well kind of bring it here too. But I'm not sure exactly what will happen. But as we end the homily, because I could talk for a couple of hours right now, but anyway, I can't do that because you got work to do, and so do I, with the woes, and we're continuing the woes from yesterday. So all you who came to Mass yesterday, you know, you had the first part of the woes, and here's the second part of the woes, where Jesus is asking us to reflect, to make sure our lives are authentic. And I think that's possibly the problem with some of the younger generation. When they talk about it, they'll often talk about maybe the hypocrites that Jesus is talking about that we can be at times, or that the inauthenticity that we say, because we're teaching our children to do something, make sure you don't lie, don't swear, be kind, and then they watch their own parents not be that, you know, lie in front of them, and they see it. And so they wonder, what does faith really mean if my own parents don't live up to what it is they're trying to tell me to do? And so that's why Jesus is challenging the church, challenging all of us to make sure that we're authentic, because I think we believe without a doubt that an authentic witness to the faith is so attractive. That's why Mother Teresa, St. Francis, all of the saints of religious communities, the reason why is because their lives seem so authentic that they not only talked about being Christian, they showed it. And then they see, and of course we know that our church is big and it's filled with people who talk about being Christian, and then you'll wonder, we wonder. And so I see that in my own life, and that's why Jesus is very clear today. And I think of all of them, can't go through all of them, but the one more important is, you know, you cleanse the outside of the dish and the cup, but inside they are filled with plunder and self-indulgence. And that's the idea of looking. We look Christian from the outside, and we worried about all the purifications and make sure everything is right, but we're not focused on the heart, on making sure that our own souls are clean before we start making sure everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing, and the priest is doing the right thing, and he's doing the right thing. And what about you? Are you doing the right thing in your own life? And that's the challenge that Jesus gives. We're going to sit here and talk about the care for the poor, and well, when was the last time you cared for the poor? Because we all talk about it, or we talk about an authentic or pure life and what's going on behind closed doors in your own life. That's always a challenge. That's what Jesus is challenging. If we're going to do things like purify our hearts, talk about forgiveness, all of that stuff, we have to make sure it's an authentic thing. that it comes first from inside, and that we can do a lot of the outside motions, but if they are not reflecting an inside reality, then we are no better than what Jesus is talking about and complaining about being blind Pharisees who are hypocrites in our faith. The challenge is always there just to be more authentic. And we believe authentic people, they just draw others who desire that in their life as well.